This morning, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, for those who'd like to read along with me here. It discusses Christ, the wisdom, and the power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you very much. Well, we're going to start requiring people to sing as admission to membership in the church. Where you have to sign on a dotted line and say, I will sing. A long time ago, I had a funeral here for Jeanette Glover. And a lot of you here will remember Jeanette Glover because she was, I said at her funeral that she was a life well lived. And she lived that life among us. She lived a Christian life. She was a woman of great faith, active in the church, involved. And we loved her here at this church. But then God called her home one day to the Father's house. And I had her funeral. And she said, Grant, at my funeral, I want you to have the people there to use the Apostles' Creed. I want them to affirm the Apostles' Creed at my funeral. Now, in all of my 50 years, no one has ever made that request. So she had markers made, those book markers, and on it was inscribed the Apostles' Creed. And I had the people to stand. And we led them in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day he arose and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sin. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in life everlasting. Now, isn't that unusual to think about that? But you know something? That was what she believed. That was her big picture of what life was about. That creed gave her structure to her life. Gave her a sense of who she was and what life was like and what God was like. It gave her hope beyond this life. It energized her life. It helped her to find out who she was and to live that out. That was her frame of reference. That was her big picture. And ladies and gentlemen, when we have the big picture right, which is Jesus Christ, then all the parts of life, whether it's life, death, sickness, hopes, dreams, ecstasies, all those parts we can keep in their place and manage them if we have the big picture right. But if we don't have the big picture right, then all the parts seem to implode and go kind of crazy, and they don't cohere. By the way, I love Colossians where it says, in Jesus Christ, all things cohere. He's the big picture. We can make sense out of our lives as long as we've got that big picture. Take that away, and we're going to have a hard time putting the parts together. Now, my wife loves to work jigsaw puzzles. And I mean, when she gets started on a jigsaw puzzle, I mean, she can't quit. I mean, she'll go out of her way while she's cooking meals to go in there and try to put a few pieces together. And Don Hegner, who's not here this Sunday, I don't think, he heard that my wife liked jigsaw puzzles. Is he here? All right, brother, you're one of the pieces then. So Don Hegner brought her in about 5 boxes of jigsaw puzzles. And I'm not sure I want to thank you for that or not, Don, but you did. But on every box, there is this picture. Now, think of trying to put those little jigsaw pieces together without that picture. It would be very difficult. It would probably take you 5 lifetimes to get all those little pieces together. It's very hard, even with the picture. But every one of those little pieces, they have a place that they belong to make that big picture what it is. And that's life, if we have the big picture. And all these things that come crowding into our lives and shouting at us and confuse us, if we've got that big picture right, we can find a place to fit it all together and create something beautiful that God is trying to do with our lives. But take that picture away and the little parts just simply can't come together. They go crazy and it just won't happen. Now the Boy Scouts are going to come in here on in a Sunday pretty quick. In fact, I think next Sunday is Boy Scout Sunday. And they're going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You know that pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, you know something? And we hold our hands over our heart while we do that. That phrase in there, that's the most important thing about that pledge, is one nation under God. That's the big picture. If you take that picture away, that we are a people under God, then what's going to happen to the parts? It's having the big picture that keeps us cohesive as a nation. And don't talk about liberty and justice unless you've got that picture right. Because you take God out of the picture, then we have no central truth we can refer to. We don't have a means to put things together. But one nation under God, as long as we can remember that and honor that, then we're going to make our way as a nation and individually. Ronald Reagan, do you know that today is Ronald Reagan's birthday? I see some of you know that. Had he lived, he would have been 100 years old today. Ronald Reagan, aside from politics, and we have some wonderful Democrats in this congregation, but aside from politics, he was certainly a powerful force and bringing down the communist empire. He was the first one to call it an evil empire. And that's because he still had the big picture, where you can say some things are wrong and some things are right. And you don't have to apologize to it because something eternal about it, you've got the big picture. But take that away. Take that away, and then we can't have those kind of challenges and utter those kind of challenges. A scientific view is not enough alone. And some people are always talking about scientific truth. And thank God for scientific truth that their framework and their reference can find. And all the discoveries that science has brought to us, we thank God for that. But you know something? The scientific view is not big enough of a picture. The scientific view can tell you how a baby's conceived. They can tell you how that baby's formed. They can tell you about how it's afterbirth and the complications, and science can do that. But science cannot tell you you ought not to have an abortion. It's not in their purview. They can describe it, but when you talk about why of things, who are we and why are we here, the scientists have no answer at all that they can give us. The picture is not big enough. Jonathan Wilder, one of the great playwrights of bygone days, had a Broadway production that he called One Town. And in it, he has a character by the name of Jane. And she receives a big envelope addressed to her. Her name was Jane. It was there. and then her house number and her street number and her town and her county and her state and the United States of America, North America, the Western Hemisphere, the cosmos, and finally the mind of God. But in Christian theology, guess what? We reverse that order. We start with God. We start with God and then the cosmos, then the all of the rest of that, where we live. But we start with God. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to do in 1 Corinthians that has been read for us this morning. He doesn't start with Greek philosophy. He starts with Jesus Christ. I'm determined, he said, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the big picture. He had just come from Athens, where he had debated with the Stoics and the Epicureans. And he went out once and he said, you've got an altar out there inscribed to the unknown God. You don't even know God. All of Aristotle and Plato, they couldn't find in their wisdom, they couldn't find God. But Paul said, you know something? There is this God who came down to give us a picture in his Son of who he is. And that's why Paul said, I'm not going to debate anymore about all of these philosophies. I'm not going to get lost in all those details. Those things are important. But I want to know something, that God has made the wisdom of this world as foolishness, he said, in terms of finding who he is, his heart. But if you want to know who God is and get the big picture, you have to look at that cross. And there we see the God of love. And Paul said, that's my big picture. That's how I'm going to live my life. That's who I am. That's what gives structure and meaning to everything I do. That's why I get up in the morning. That's how I know who I am. That's why I pray when I'm sick. That's why I rejoice and sing these glad songs when everything's going right and going wrong, because we know who God is. And once you know that, you don't rule out reason or science or any of it. But you incorporate it into that big picture of God's heart that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the world wants to squeeze us into a mold. It's like J.B. Phillips said, your God is too small. And if you shrink God, then you shrink life. We must not let that happen. We must keep before us this picture that Paul has of God as love, displayed in that cross of Christ. That is the big picture. Then we're not going to get lost in secularism. We're not going to get lost in naturalism or relativism, any of those things. But take away the big picture, and life tends to narrow and restrict and implode, and we can't make sense out of the details of life. There's an old saying that you can't see the forest for the trees. That is, if you're obsessed with the trees, you can't see the grandeur of the forest and its beauty. But see the grandeur of the forest, and then you can come back and hug the trees, because they're part of God's picture then. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments in your presence. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we need to let you broaden our picture of who you are, so that we'll not get lost in the trees and lost in the darkness or lost in the good times. But we'll find the pieces of our life and put them together with the picture you have given us in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We're going to stand at this time and sing our concluding hymn, Precious Name, number 536.
Pastor, we're going to sing this a cappella.
A cappella? All right.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh so sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. make the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptation round you gather, pray that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh how precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Now, isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Now, that song, you had a part in it. But the song together, just beautiful to hear you sing and create that beautiful musical picture. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you and keep you until we meet here in this place again or in the world to come. Amen and amen.